This morning we start with a two-week series on prayer, and specifically intercessory prayer, praying for others, on behalf of others. And the title this morning is Pray Until Something Happens. We don't always pray until something happens. Sometimes we just pray, and then we walk away. There's my prayer. Thank you, Lord. You heard that. You know about that. And I go on with my day's business. When I was a young boy growing up in South Africa in the 1970s, it was a time when South Africa had conscription, or every young man off to school had to be in the army for 2 years and defend the borders of the country. And so many times at night when we pray our night evening prayers, we would end off our prayers with one line. Lord, please be with the soldiers on the border and the people in hospital. Amen. That was our line. Stock, standard prayer. We'd always end off with that, for the soldiers on the borders and for the people in hospital. Thank you. Now, if you had asked us and said, are you interceding? Are you praying for sick people? We would say, yes, we pray for people in hospital. Are you praying for the protection of the country? Yes, we pray for the soldiers on the border. But honestly, what kind of prayer is that? How effective do you think that prayer would be? Is that prayer a targeted prayer that's going to hit the target that I'm praying for? Or is that some kind of shot that you just shoot up into the sky and just hope it hits, but who knows? I mean, I'm sending up these prayers and I think God's listening to them, but I'm not quite sure what's going on after that. Once the prayer leaves my mouth and it goes up, I mean, that's, who knows? That's not the kind of prayer that Jesus wants us to pray. That's not the kind of prayer that He taught us to pray. Pray until something happens is prayer that is effective and prayer that is directed towards a target. We say that prayer is a conversation between us and God, and yet sometimes we don't wait to hear back from Him. We just leave the prayer there, and then we get on with our lives. And we hope, or we trust, that maybe God heard that prayer, and yeah, God will probably do something about that. I mean, I gave the prayer, right? Pray, and don't give up until something happens. There's an acronym for that. It's called PUSH. Pray until something happens. PUSH. And what people have done is they've made that into a logo, and you can get a baseball cap, which says PUSH. I'm praying until something happens. Or, if you like, just a button you can wear on your jacket or shirt, maybe. Or if you like, a wristband. Just keep it on your wrist. It's there every day. Just look at that. Oh yeah, I remember. I must pray until something happens. It's going to remind you about that. Or it could be a t-shirt. You wear that around. People say, oh, that's interesting, and it could be a conversation starter. But you know what? If you're really hardcore, you get a tattoo. That says, I'm praying until something happens. My prayers are not just shots in the dark or just up in the air. My prayers are strong and effective, and they are directed towards its target. Let us read together the passage this morning from Isaiah chapter 62, verses 1 to 7. I'm reading from the NIV. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted, or name your land desolate. But you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give Him no rest, till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn from that. I pray that this morning, Lord, you would speak to us through your word and through your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would change us in such a way that our prayers become effective, mighty weapons who will take down targets. I pray, Lord, that we would not give up on praying or just throw out prayers without any meaning or any kind of perseverance behind them. But I pray, Lord, that our prayers would be strong prayers. And we will persevere and keep praying until something happens. I ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, we find that the prophet slash servant is crying out, praying for Jerusalem. He starts off by saying, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a blazing torch." He's praying not for himself, he's praying for Jerusalem. He's interceding. And he has a strong urge, this unction within himself, to start praying earnestly for Jerusalem. And what we realize is that he's praying something that is already on God's heart. He's praying for something that God has already promised, something that God already intends to do. And when we pray prayers like that, that connects with God's purposes and God's intention and God's plans, our prayers are going to be powerful, because we are going to be aligning our prayers with God's will. And when His will and our prayers align, we know that those prayers are going to be successful. As he prays for that, he comes to a very, very interesting passage there where he says this. He says, "You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give Him no rest till He establishes Jerusalem." Give yourselves no rest and give Him no rest. And I want to take some time with this passage, because there's two very interesting parts to that. The first part is where he says, give yourselves no rest. In other words, don't just put your prayer before the Lord and walk away. It says, hold that prayer tightly and keep praying that prayer. On and on and on. Give yourselves no rest. That's the first part. The second part is the part that really interests me in this. And give the Lord no rest until this happens. As I look at this, I'm going to highlight two problems of pride. Then two reasons why God encourages us to persevere in prayer. And then two examples of praying until something happens. Two problems of pride. Let me start with that. The first thing of pride is where we say, I don't have to wait for God, I'll get it done myself. I'm praying for something, I don't see the answer to it, and I decide, okay, well that's it. I don't know when God's going to answer that. I don't know how He's going to answer that. I'm just going to have to get on and do it myself. You think of people maybe who were praying for more income. People who need more income in their life. They don't have enough money to make ends meet. And they need a better income. And they pray for that and they ask God for that. But in a week's time, it doesn't seem like God is answering that prayer because they still have the same income. It hasn't increased. So they decide, okay, well, if God's not moving on this, I'm going to have to do something about this. And the next thing you know, they're working three jobs. And the three jobs does bring in more income, but at the same time, their family life is sacrificed. And the peace that they had is gone. And they find themselves like a hamster on a wheel, just running, 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 not even knowing where they're running to. And they say, well, I couldn't wait for God to answer my prayer. I had to get this done. Well, it seems to me that the root of that is pride. I'm not going to hang around. I'm not going to wait for Him. I'm going to get this done. This needs to be done. I think that trips us up. That pride right there. Not only does pride trip us up because we try and get, we do it ourselves instead of waiting for God. But there's another way that's more insidious, more subtle, because it works like this. We decide that I've prayed enough. We decide that God has heard my prayer. He knows. And I don't have to pray it again. Now, God's word tells us in this passage that we should give God no rest until something happens. Until our prayer is answered. We should give Him no rest. We should keep praying. Jesus does the same thing. Jesus teaches His disciples to pray. And He says what the way you should do it is like a widow that goes to an unjust judge. And she wants justice. And she goes back to Him day after 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 day until He says no more. She's going to wear me out if I don't give her what she's asking for. Let me give it to her. And Jesus says, that's how you should pray. Not because your God is an unjust judge. No, He's not. He will give you justice. But that attitude that she had is the attitude that you should have. He gives another illustration. He talks about someone goes to a friend at midnight, asks for food, for bread. And the friend says, go away, we're already in bed, everyone's asleep, the door's locked, I can't help you out. But he says, you keep knocking until he gets up. And he says, he will get up because of your persistence. And he will give you the bread that you're asking for. That's a teaching that Jesus gives. To persevere, to give God no rest until He gives you the answer to the prayer. Now, where's the pride? Well, you see, here's the pride. When you think you know better than God, when you say, Lord, I don't feel comfortable coming back to you again and again and again. I feel like I'm bothering you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the one who created everything. And I feel I'm going to be bothering you if I keep asking you the same thing again and again. It feels like you're not hearing me. Well, when you think you know better than God, that's pride. Because the way that God wants you to do it and the way that Jesus has taught us to do it is to persevere, to come again and again. To pray until something happens. Two problems of pride. The one problem is that we think, I'm not going to wait for God, I'll get this done. The second problem is, I don't want to bother Him too much. I don't want to persevere. I don't want to come to Him again and again and again with the same thing. Even though that is what God has asked us to do. Two problems we struggle with in this kind of prayer. Now, I'm going to give you two reasons why God encourages us to persevere in prayer. There are lots of reasons, but I'm just going to look at two of those. The first one is to test our commitment to our prayer. To test our commitment. How committed are you to that prayer that you're praying? Sometimes we just pray, Lord, please, I'd like to get this new job, but if I don't, it's okay. But I'd really like to do it. Thank you. How strong is your commitment to that prayer? You know, when I was in high school, we had a guy who was an amazing athlete. He won almost every race that he entered. But he didn't start his athletic career as an amazing athlete. The coach was telling us the first day that he came. This guy's name was Gus Bradley. The first day that Gus came to athletic practice, he had a big pair of glasses. He was a small, scrawny little kid. And he came there and he was tugging on the sleeve of the coach. And the coach said, what do you want? He says, I want to be a runner. The coach looked at him, didn't see any potential in him, and said, hey, okay, run around the field and come see me again. So he ran around the field. Tells the coach, I'm back. The coach said, oh, he says, okay, run around the field again. He ran around again. And the coach, well, run around again. And he ran around again. And every time the coach said run around the field, he ran around the field. And guess what happened? Two things happened. The one is his legs became stronger, his lungs became better, so he became a better athlete because of all the running around the field he did. The second thing that happened is that the coach became convinced of his commitment. The coach became convinced this boy really wants to be a runner. And therefore, he is worthy of my time. I'm going to invest my time. I'm going to coach him because of his commitment. Even if he doesn't strike me like a fantastic athlete when I look at him, I'm going to invest my time in him. And guess what? He became such a star athlete. Winning all the races between 3,000 meters and 5,000 meters, he was untouchable. He just had that stamina. He could just keep going forever. And he was. So, this is the first thing that God does to us when we have to persevere in our prayers, is He tests the commitment that we have to our prayer. Do I really want this that I'm asking for? Or is it just a wish that I'm sending up? How serious am I about this? That gets tested. The second thing that gets tested in that time of perseverance is not only my commitment to my prayer, but it's my commitment to my God. My prayer is that He will supply what I need, that He will answer me. What if He doesn't answer me within a week, or a month, or a year? What then? Do I turn to someone else to answer me? I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where will my help come from? Well, in those days, as you know, all the temples were on the hills. All the different gods were spread out on the hills. People say, to which god are you going to look? To which hill are you going to look for help? Or are you going to look to the God of Israel? The God of Zion? Is that the one you will look to? Well, you see, your commitment to your God gets tested. Because when it seems like He's not answering that prayer, you say, well, maybe I'm out of favor with Him. Maybe He doesn't like me. Maybe He doesn't want to hear from me. Maybe I have to find another God. Your commitment to your prayer, your commitment to your God gets tested in perseverance. Those are two things that happen when God doesn't answer our prayer as soon or as quickly as we would like. So, we have two problems of pride. We have two reasons why God encourages us to persevere in our prayers. And I'm going to share two examples of this. Pray until something happens. The first one is from the life of King David. You know the story of David who committed sin with Bathsheba. And you know how God sent the prophet Nathan to him to confront him about that? This is at that time. And David now answers Nathan. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die. This is the deal. Your life will be spared, but this child that will be born to you, this child will die. Then Nathan went to his house. And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. You see what he's doing here? He's not giving himself any rest while he's praying for this child. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, the child is dead? He may do himself some harm. But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, is the child dead? They said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. And then his servant said to him, what is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. David said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him but he will not return to me. See what happens. 7 days, he's earnestly fasting and praying, not giving up, persevering all the while, thinking maybe God is going to answer my prayers, maybe God will save this child. And then something happens. God answers. The answer is not what David wanted, but God did answer. Not in a voice, not speaking to David, but in the events that happened when the child passed away. See what happened here? He prayed until something happened. He prayed until an answer was given to his prayer. The answer was not what he wanted, but the answer came. And then he ended the prayer. The second example I'm going to give from the New Testament, and this time the prayer is answered in the positive and not in the negative. Luke writes in the first chapter of Acts, he says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" The instruction of Jesus, wait in Jerusalem. Verse 12 says, "Then after Jesus ascended, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John, James, Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers." You see what they did? They went to the upper room in Jerusalem and they started praying as Jesus told them to. Now, how long did Jesus say they need to pray for? Until the Holy Spirit comes, until the power comes. When would that be? On the second day, the third day, the 15th day? When? They didn't know. They had to pray until something happens. And that's what they did. All of them together in one accord, staying in prayer. And then chapter 2 says this. It says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Their prayers were answered. Something happened. Because they were committed to praying. They were persevering. Staying together in the upper room every day praying until something happened. Two examples. The one with David, he prayed until God answered. It wasn't the answer he wanted, but God answered his prayer. He saw that. The second example, disciples of Jesus, praying until something happened, until the power of God came upon them, as Jesus had promised. Brothers and sisters, this is how we need to pray. We need to show our commitment to our prayer. We need to show our commitment to our God. And we need to keep persevering in our prayers until something happens. Let us change our prayer life this year. Let us not just throw out a one-liner and walk away. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to grow in prayer. And we want to intercede. And we want our prayers to count for something. And we want to persevere, Lord, and pray until something happens. But sometimes, for whatever reason, we don't do this. I pray this morning, Lord, that You would wipe the slate clean. That You would forgive us for the times that we were unfaithful. For the times when we did not persevere. For the times, Lord, where we just didn't do what we were supposed to do. But I pray now that You give us a new start. I pray that You would encourage us and strengthen us. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us specific things to pray for, that we can intercede and that we can persevere and pray until something happens. Would You give us this spirit of prayer, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.